Hello everyone, it's Paul D'Souza and Warren Giroux from Sightline Wealth Management, and we're here for our weekly update call. Warren, good morning, how have you been?
Good morning, great.
So the job numbers today shocked many people, 2.5 million in May. What's happening here?
Oh hell yeah, that just sort of changed everything this morning. I think we can attribute to the fact that we didn't have the layoffs that we have been having, and the layoffs subsided, and we had some of the some workers who had previously been laid off and had coming back to work or going back to work. As some of the numbers that I read this morning, bars and restaurants, for example, the segment of the economy that was hit worst by the pandemic, they recalled about 1.4 million workers. Following the loss of over 6 million positions in the prior 2 months. So that certainly was a significant turnaround. We also saw unemployment rebound in construction. There was about 460 people called back in the construction industry. Retail industry, there was about 368,000. Manufacturing also had an increase or a recall of about 225,000. In addition to that, healthcare saw a rebound in employment as well, and they had about 312,000 that re-entered the workforce. So I think what it is, combination of, you know, we were at a pretty significant low number in the first place, or a low base, and we saw, you know, these people starting to re-enter or coming back from furlough and without any offsetting job losses. So I think that's where the number came from. And I guess to add to that, it seems that the gain is primarily in, or in a good part, in those areas where people are having interaction with other people. So social distancing is going to come into it, but into play at some point, but the rules and regulations. But this is where we had interaction coming back. So, yeah.
So, yeah, the base is low and had nowhere to go but up as the economy is reopening. So if we take, I don't know how, if this continued job growth occurs each week, we could see the markets surpass the old highs by a wide margin. In addition, we have the unprecedented Fed stimulus, which was very swift, and the amount in the past, as we've discussed, it's taken some time before that happens, and it was, the reaction was extremely quick. So with that stimulus, in addition now to the low base in unemployment, it seems like the markets could surpass new highs.
Well, it certainly looks like they could. I mean, as we're speaking right now, the Dow is over 27,000. But I think we have to realize that the first wave of this rally was attributed, or could be attributed to, as you said, to the federal and fiscal stimulus policies of governments, central banks and governments. The second wave, really is the optimism of the economy recovering, and that's what we're going through right now. Now, as I said, initially we're coming off a pretty low base, and I think this is all good news. But at some point, I think the numbers of you know, the people coming back to work will sort of stabilize, and we won't actually go back to the full employment that we once had, because there'll be restructuring going on, I think. And because of social distancing rules and so on and so on, you know, you won't have as many people in restaurants. They'll be active and they'll be as full as they can be, but they, you know, may not have the same volumes. And so there may be some, maybe 80% of the people go back to work as opposed to 100% of the people go back to work. Now, along that line, there's going to be, as we figure out how to restructure the businesses and how we operate in a different new or a new environment, there'll be new jobs and there'll be new job created. But that's going to take a little longer, I think, before that happens. So in the meantime, the market's really anticipating, I think, that we're going to get back to full normal within the next 6 months. And of course, the market always anticipates. So it's certainly moving quite strong now. And, but you know, as you and I've talked before too, Paul, the market has been somewhat, the breadth of the market hasn't been that great. It's really been focused on a few companies, and the valuation of those companies have come into question, and there's been, the market's been chaotic. There's no question. I think if you assume that we've seen the bottom, and you assume that job growth has turned around, and people who were furloughed are coming back. Then there are lots of names out there right now that look extremely undervalued and certainly at much lower prices than they were, 6 months ago, 5 months ago. So there's probably very selective opportunities out there at this point that could be very attractive. And COVID, which was in the forefront for the last month and a half, 2 months, and the reason for this market sell-off, is all but an afterthought at this point. I mean, yes, we're still talking about it marginally, but we're talking focused more on, unemployment and social distancing, as well as, the protesting and so forth that's been going on. So, it's very strange market, to say the least.
So we're looking at talking about the market breadth as well in terms of the five stocks dominating the S&P, but the Russell 2000 is also up as well, indicating that the breadth is starting to disperse amongst other companies. So that's a positive sign. The volume is still a concern for many, and that is, why isn't the volume up to where the pre-crisis levels are? And then, so there's two theories there. It is, once the remaining two-thirds comes in, the markets will absolutely be on jet fuel. Or why hasn't that volume been there now? And so maybe call it smart money versus retail money. And there's a lot of reports now coming out where this is a lot of retail investors in this. There's a lot of FOMO. So really hard to know what the answer to that is.
Well, I had a meeting earlier this week, and we were talking to some people who deal primarily with pension managers and pension funds. And they said that everybody was just basically on hold and waiting sort of later in the year before they do any shifting to asset allocation. The other thing was that I heard on the retail side, very interesting, and you alluded to it, is that retail investor hasn't really been in the market in a big way, except for, some day traders who have decided that, while they're sitting at home, they might get in the market for fun. And there's a huge amount of cash on the sidelines in this retail market segment. One report said, from the Bank of America, said over $1 trillion of retail money sitting on the sidelines. Another report that just heard this morning said there was over $5 trillion in money market funds. So once the investor, the consumer, starts to have confidence again, both in his job as well as some certainty going forward, I think you're going to see the markets go much, much higher than they have been. And there's a lot of fuel, as they call it, on the sidelines in the way of cash. And when you compare it to bonds, bond rates right now are so low that it's hard to get an income from a bond portfolio. So as people become more optimistic, they'll move into equities. And as savers or people who need to save for retirement, the savings rate obviously has been going up and has been fairly robust in the last several years as a result of low interest rates. So that, all again, people will more likely than not buy dividend paying stocks and so forth, which have a dividend yield greater than bond yield. So I think there's lots of reasons for optimism as far as the market goes. It's just, we need the economy to join into the party, and we need to have the economy come back or go back to where it was prior to, as far as job growth, as well as employment and wage gains, so forth.
Are you saying stocks are rising because there is no alternative?
In part, I'd say yes. That's one of the things that everybody's been talking about, is the central banks have forced investors to take riskier assets, invest in riskier assets.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right, with bond yields at incredibly low levels. In fact, I'm reading too that the Fed has not ruled out negative interest rates as yet another monetary tool to provide further stimulus.
Well, again, I was going to say, don't forget this week, ECB came out and announced, Christine came out and announced another, it was $1.3 trillion in quantitative easing, not another, but an additional, I think, of $600 billion. So they're expanding their QE program in Europe. to try to re-stimulate and to provide liquidity. So it's not out of the question. And, you know, when they keep interest rates this low, I read a report earlier this week as well, that as interest rates go below 4%, that saving increases because people have to save for retirement. And so they're more likely to save than they are to spend as rates go lower. And of course, that pushes them, I think that pushes them right into equities.
So Warren, we've discussed in terms in the past of how potentially retesting March 23rd lows. Don't know if that will happen given how quickly this has rebounded. However, saying that, never in history has there not been a bear market rally with another correction within there. So we've had this tremendous rebound. So again, that kind of gives, as our listeners know, we've been very skeptical of this, but the Fed liquidity has definitely done an incredible job of doing this. So of bringing it back up to current levels. So again, I think we're just basically saying this is a tremendous recovery. However, let's not take caution off the table here.
No, I don't think you want to overplay this one. As we mentioned before, the market's been very narrow. It's been focused on a few stocks, the FANG stocks, for example. And historically speaking, you're quite right. There's never been a major bear market decline. Of course, this one happened faster than any other previous bear market decline. But and maybe it's appropriate that we have a bear market rally that's been one of the strongest in history. However, having said that, typically you have a pullback at some point. This is not a one-way street. So I think it's quite reasonable to expect that we have a pullback in this market. But again, I think the longer term, as we go out, it is for a stronger market. But, you know, I guess you could say everybody's had it wrong. All the market pundits that we listen to and we study and all the history is different this time. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But typically, you know, emotions drive the market. And so for right now, we're on a ride of optimism and recovery. So time will tell. But again, I think caution, I think you have to have a quite a big cup of caution here with this market. I just cannot believe from a historical perspective, as well as even pure fundamentals, that the market is you know, on real solid footing. And we'll continue without a pause. So, yeah.
And this is what everyone refers to as it's climbing a wall of worry.
Yeah.
So everyone can point out to the obvious. Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, Paul. I mean, you've had a lot of experience in the gold market in over the years, in your past life. And I'm just noticing today gold was down quite substantially. Do you have any thoughts on that, or have you been giving that any thought recently? Because gold was well over $1,700 an ounce, U.S., and now it's down to $1,683, down $44 today as it sits right now. Any thoughts?
A few thoughts. Profit-taking has had a tremendous run since the lows as well. And, you know, it's interesting, too. So the narrative was that gold was rising due to all the unprecedented fiscal stimulus, therefore you're buying gold as the inflation hedge. However, the stimulus is still there. In fact, it's continuing, so why is gold falling? And I think that's a risk coming off the table in terms of allocating out of gold and then more, you know, back into, stocks again. So it's normal. Gold's been volatile. And so again, look, in terms of what's happened in the last 2 months, one shouldn't really measure that in terms of the reasons to own gold. Reasons have been, there's many reasons, and they will always continue to be there. It's an asset class that I think should have a position in a small percentage of the portfolio. And, you know, it goes up, it goes down. There's many reasons that don't make sense of why it does go down. However, over the long term, if you measure it, your purchasing power in terms of gold ounces, you make a very strong case of why you should continue to hold it. And that is different from mining stocks, of course.
Yeah, that all makes sense.
Okay.
Well, Warren, I think that's up for time here. It's good to speak with you again. Until next week.
Well, it's nice to touch base. And yes, hopefully next week won't be quite as chaotic and as this week was.
Thank you, Warren. Take care.
Well, you have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye.